the seal is the Spirit of God himself. And I'm looking for the verse in Romans chapter 8. Here it is. And verse 14. And it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Spirit that comes and dwells within us marks us out, as it were, like a brand upon us, that we belong to God. It is like a cattle owner, a ranch owner, who takes a signet and he brands that animal, and you have another farmer down the road who has a different seal that he puts upon his animal, so that if those animals wander into the other one's field or pasture, it's very easy to discern which animal belongs to which owner. And so for you and I, the sealing, that mark is the Spirit of God himself. And God has an eye upon each of us, and this is where 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it's verse 19, comes in. God knows those that are his. His eye looks down and sees upon you and I the Spirit of God who has sealed us. And he knows that that is my purchase redemption, the purchase possession. I'll leave a little bit of room for someone to help with this. But the thought of the purchase redemption, I believe, again, is a truth that starts in the book of Romans. We know that first we had to be saved from the penalty of sin, because that was what was resting upon our heads. And so when we come to the Lord Jesus, we're saved from the penalty of sin. We also know that we are saved from the power of sin in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6, we talked about this in, I guess, last year and also in different places, that we are to reckon ourselves as dead, not to yield our members as instruments of what? Of what? Unrighteousness. So there is the thought of being saved from the power of sin. And yet, as Brother Chuck says, there is an aspect of salvation that we look forward to. And again, we find this in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. And it speaks about the fact in verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption," that is, the redemption of the body. There is coming the day when we shall be saved from the very presence of sin. And so salvation, you know, we learn from Romans, and we appreciate it even more in the book of Ephesians, is that it saves us from the penalty of sin on a daily basis. It saves us from the power of sin, because the Spirit of God gives us that authority or unction to be able to not yield our members. And there's coming a glorious day when we shall be saved from the very presence of sin.
How many of you here drive cars? How many of you have cars? What is a VIN number? What's that? Identification. Vehicle identification number. Very good. Glad somebody's awake back there. Now, if, let's take Ford, for example. If Ford put out, give me a brand of Ford. I don't know anything about cars. Explorer. If they put 10,000 Explorers out, all blue, how would you know? And you buy, and everyone here buys one. How do you know that this is your car? They all look blue. Yours is clean, okay. Why? Because that VIN number is unique to every car. And when you purchase this car, you don't only say, "I have a blue car with two doors or four doors and whatever, four tires," but it said also on it that you have that VIN number. You know that this is yours. The Spirit of God, in sealing us, he is saying, "You're mine. You are mine. No one could snatch you out of my hand. Nobody could steal you. You could not lose your salvation. If you ever worry about, well, what's going to happen to me? Satan could take me back. You are sealed and you're his. That's number one. Number two is when you believe, what happened to you? You're sealed. You get the Spirit of God. It's not the second blessing. Because in verse 3, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. So don't let anybody deceive you and tell you, well, after you get saved, you have to pray and then you get the second blessing and then you get the Spirit of God. No, you believe you get the Spirit of God. That's what verse 14 tells me. And then the matter of inheritance. Now, I want to ask you a question. Let's take a faraway country. If any of you heard or got a letter saying that you had a relative in Australia that was very, very wealthy and left you a big castle and a big ranch with all kind of riches and glory in it. And I don't know how many of you have noticed that. When you read Ephesians, you find these expressions. Riches, glory, all the time. Our inheritance are rich inheritance and glorious inheritance. So, you get a letter in the mail saying your great-great-great uncle have left you a big castle in Australia and tons of money in there, all kind of wealth and glory and riches. How many of you would say, oh, that's really nice. Okay, let me just go back to school again. Man, the first thing you want to go is you want to get a plane ticket and you want to go there and you're going to find out what are these inheritances are all about, right? Yeah, you want to go and see what is mine and how I'm going to use it, what I'm going to enjoy in there. I'm going to invite my friend to spend some time with me in that great castle and explore all of the riches and all of the glory. Well, let me tell you something. We have something even greater than a great castle in Australia. It's a great inheritance and it's yours. Now, here is an invitation for you. Come and explore. And that's when we move on to these verses in 15 the prayer. You come and explore now. What do you really have?
Yeah, just to touch on the earnest of our inheritance. Just to build on the analogy Brother Emil just brought up, if somebody were to tell you that you had this great inheritance, if you're, you know, maybe a little bit cynical, you might say, well, prove it. You know, well, I'm not going to buy a plane ticket and go all the way to Australia just to find, you know, some sand.
It's everything.
How do I have proof? And so imagine the same person that told you, here's your inheritance, pulled out a little treasure chest and said, here, see the million, here's $1 million in this treasure chest. This is just one of the 50,000 treasure chests that are in this castle. Here's one of them. So that you can see, look, this is a part of that inheritance that you can enjoy right now. You have it fully right now. And it's just a taste of everything else that you have once you get there. Now, I don't want to diminish the Holy Spirit or anything by saying he's a, you know, taste or whatever, but the fact that we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us right now is just, besides giving us power and revealing to us the things that we're reading, and the very fact that he's in us shows that we belong to God, and also the very fact that he's in us is proof that God has so much more in store for us too. So he has so much for us that we're going to be getting fully, and right now we fully have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. So he's the earnest of our inheritance. He's like the first thing that we can get from that. I don't know if I'm saying that entirely correctly, but I'm just trying to add something about this earnest of our inheritance.
Can we just simply say, he's, as we've said already, it's the down payment, but it's the guarantee. It's the guarantee that inheritance in Australia, it's not a maybe. It's a sure thing.
When we go on to this prayer, let's spend a few minutes of time on this. And wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, I want just to emphasize again, that salvation is through faith in him. It is through nothing else. It is faith in the finished work of Christ. It is dependence upon him, the confession of my sins, of the state that I was in, and God takes me up on the basis of the work of his beloved Son. But you know, then I find that I'm brought into a whole world of new people, aren't I? It says of the faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Now that must mean all of the brethren. Is that what that means? Does that mean all of those that we know as brethren? We're known commonly as brethren. That word has been coined and given. Is that who our love is to? Is it in a narrow channel like that? Or is it in a broad channel, wherever I see a child of God, wherever I meet one that belongs to Christ, I am to show love to that dear one. I may not be able to walk with them. There may be things that we can't fellowship with them. But, oh, dear young people, how we need to have broad affections when it comes to God's people. We're going to be in the glory with all of them, and we need to search them out and find them here. Maybe the Lord would use you and I to bring them into somewhat of the knowledge of these wonderful things that he has given to us. I'll tell you, you're in a place of privilege when you're taught verse by verse the scriptures. There's not many in this world that are doing this today. So love unto all the saints. And others would say something, but I think it's important to see that even though I'm saved, it is God's will that I would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that I have eyes, I have spiritual eyes, and they need to be opened and lightened, that ye might know what is the hope of his calling, and so on. And it'll bring us back then to the power to live for this one here. Emil, you wanted to say something, I know, on the prayer.